that majestic sound means it is time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history. And we are joined now, as always, by the illustrious Mr. Scott Washington, who is wearing a very, very nice Carolina sweater.
That's
I like that.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I wonder if we do everything with an English accent, if that would make it all sound so much better.
We did have Ray Dooley here from Playmakers earlier this afternoon. He's playing Mrs. Jennings in Sense and Sensibility.
Oh, cool.
Because of course he is. And he and Dan Tude, who's playing multiple characters in this show, they did a scene. So Ray Dooley was standing at that microphone where you're standing right now.
See,
and just in an
off.
Instant, they put on their English accents.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Dan was doing the voice of the dog because of course he was. Like, it's just an amazing scene. But yes, British accents
the
make everything better.
People that I know that have English, they can get away with almost anything with the saying with a, would you please come in and bring the butter? You know, things like that.
and the reaction
elevates
is,
it.
This isn't your house. What are you doing in here? But no one even asked that question.
Well,
yes, butter for you.
You know, I want to just say that today, this week has some really interesting things. And one of them that comes up is really an American invention. It's October 23rd. 1895 is when a fellow is born, Maury Maverick.
Yes.
And this is an American politician, mayor of San Antonio, U.S. congressman. This is the early 1930s. But his great contribution, 1944, is credited with coining the term gobbledygook.
Of course.
This is gobbledygook.
But in what I assume is a Texas accent.
Yeah, let's try
it
with an English. This is gobbledygook.
This is gobbledygook. Now, if you say gobbledygook in a British accent, it sounds German.
It does. But anyway, that is such a great all-purpose term, you know.
So do we know what the original context for it was?
No, but he was a politician. You could imagine him just saying, this is all gobbledygook.
Yeah.
But that's a great contribution.
Sounds like turkey puree, doesn't it?
This Thanksgiving, enjoy some gobbledygook
from your friends at Butterball. Would you please bring in the butter?
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, also the 23rd is interesting because that's Johnny Carson's
Weird Al.
Birthday. Weird Al. That's
one of
right.
the great pop culture figures of our time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Who and satire is protected free speech.
Yes.
And of course, that's what he does. Now, he does get permission, but he asks. But technically, satire is protected for free speech, and that's been sued many times.
I think Weird Al is a really significant figure in popular culture, more so than I think he gets credit for being. There's a lot of people who like him. They're fans of his, and they like his songs and everything. But this is a guy who I went to a concert of his. It was at DPAC a couple of years ago, and he comes out, and like the crowd goes wild. And like the stage is backlit, so you just see his silhouette, and he's standing there with his back to the audience, like Bruce Springsteen at the beginning of Born in the USA, and he just like holds up this accordion, so all you see is the silhouette of this guy with like long hair standing like a rock star holding up an accordion. The crowd goes nuts, and it's funny, and it's satire, and it's parody, but it's also like, how significant is it that this guy like opens up a door in the 1980s and enables that sort of weird perspective on the world, not just to be tolerated, but to become mainstream.
Yes. Well, Steve Martin also follows
Steve
up
Martin,
the same thing.
And like away from pop culture, you think about like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, like the rise of the nerd in the 80s and 90s. Like Weird Al's at the center of that.
And you know,
I think
history
that's really
is replete with examples of how humor shapes things. Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yes.
That's another one.
Yep.
So it is actually very important, these comedians that enliven our lives and inform us.
More so than a lot of other people. I think I think if Elvis Costello gets to go into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Weird Al should be there waiting for him.
Well, you think of the late night comics that are on even the mainstream shows, and they're the ones who people are tuning in to say, this is how I get my news of the day, is because of the comedy.
Jon Stewart, Jimmy Kimmel, Steve Colbert,
Exactly.
Seth Meyers now.
That's right. Yeah. And, of course, Aaron Keck. So.
And, of course, Aaron Keck. Colbert's got it nailed, though. He's got it on lock.
Oh, my gosh.
Seth Meyers goes on, and as good as Seth Meyers is, you know he's just aspiring to be Stephen Colbert.
Yes. Like, well, you know, here's another thing on the 23rd. You know, there's a lot about talk about Amazon and headquarters and where they're going to be. And, of course, North Carolina wants them to come there, too. But here's something interesting. October 23rd, 1896, was the first rural free delivery, RFD, mail service in North Carolina, established in a small community of China Grove near Salisbury in Rowan County. Mm-hmm. Now, this idea was that they were going to deliver the items for free. Didn't have to go down to the post office. And people resisted this.
Yeah.
You know, here we are thinking, that's how we do our online shopping. But back in the day, people were like, we liked going to the post office. No, I don't know about this delivery thing. And they had to actually try to persuade people.
Oh, can you believe that? Of course. Everyone resists the new thing. They like the old thing.
Yeah, it's the devil
you know, right?
That's exactly right.
All right.
Well, let's see. Here's something that's, oh, I love this one. On the 24th, now get this, we have to go back in time. 1838.
Which is what we're here to do, right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm going back in time.
Well, maybe like, history matters.
And now I'm going back in time.
Back in time.
October 24th, 1838, a woman is born, Annie Edison Taylor. Mm. Now, what's really interesting is what she does on her 63rd birthday. She actually is the first person, and in this case, she's a woman, not an acrobat, to go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel and survive. Talk about that's the way to celebrate your 63rd.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Barely affected. Like, she got a cut on her head, and that was about it. Yeah.
But what I really like is that, you know, last week we were talking about how there was the French sent a cat into space.
Yes.
Once again, it's the cat. They tested the barrel using a cat. Inside, and it survived. So once again, the trendsetters here.
I'm sure it was so delighted when that was over.
All right.
Cats are not big fans of water to begin with, let alone falling over.
Going into space, into Niagara Falls, well, you know, it seems appropriate because
landed on his feet and then clawed the crap out of his owner who tried to do that.
And maybe that's why this week is also on the 29th, Sunday, is National Cat Day.
Nice.
Founded as a way to bring awareness to the number of homeless cats.
Mm.
Now, it's not to be confused with International Cat Day, August 8th, or World Cat Day, February 17th.
You know, I was going to make a joke about how every day is cat day, but it's not a joke. It is.
That's right. But, you know, we had last week the cat going into space, this week going over the Niagara Falls. In fact, we should say this is the first cat that went over the Niagara, and I think it's the last one.
Oh, probably. I would hope so. Yeah.
If there's any other one, but I think that's kind of fun.
Right.
But also, on October 24th, 1823, now this is more local history, but that's when Richard de Menahan purchases 400 acres in what is Durham now, but Durham, Granville, Orange, and Wake County, that becomes what we call Stagville, where you can now still visit Horton Grove, and it's very somber, slave quarters that were built, and you just have a real connection with history in a very different time.
Yeah.
But that's available. So that's kind of, you know, on the more somber side of history. But there's another thing that's really cool, and it takes place on the 25th, October 25th, 1774. Women in Edenton, North Carolina, resolved to stop buying English tea and cloth to protest taxation without representation. It becomes known as the Edenton Tea Party. Now, the Boston Tea Party was a year earlier, on December 16th, 1773. But here's what they said at the time. The organizer of this, Penelope Barker, she said, "Maybe it has only been men who have protested the king up to now. That only means we women have taken too long to let our voices be heard. We are signing our names to document, not hiding ourselves but behind costumes like the men in Boston did at their tea party. The British will know who we are."
Boom.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And it's really one of the first, it wasn't that women weren't involved in the Revolutionary War, but they weren't fighting that way, but they were managing these estates and keeping things going. But they were very active in this particular, and that was pretty bold to say, we're not taking more British goods
right.
when Britain is your major supplier.
Yeah, one of the first great boycotts,
yes.
right? Like, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Like
that's pretty significant.
And, all right.
So that's kind of cool. That's, you know, local history
yes.
as well.
No, not a good local history.
Well, you know,
week.
We were talking about how gobbledygook, well, who, you know, how can we not think of Minnie Pearl, born 1912, October 25th, with her howdy?
Yes.
I did not do it well, but
I don't know. I think I was actually pretty impressed really? When you did
okay.
that until yeah.
Well, good.
I was actually looking off to the side at the list of This Week in History things. So when you did that, I was not expecting it. So I'm like, whoa, double take.
Well, we tried to go with the versatility here.
yeah.
But that's also the day the 25th when Pablo Picasso was born.
Yes.
And of course, Johann Strauss,
yes.
The Waltz King.
And William Higginbotham, the father of the video game, born in 1910,
yes.
designed the first video game. So if you're upset about the fact that Joel Berry's missing the next 4 weeks, you can blame this guy.
Yeah, getting the oscilloscope and the public to play tennis at
yep.
the New York. I think that's really kind of, yeah, that is interesting. Like,
I like how,
oh,
like,
yeah.
And he did that in the 40s, right? So
I think
it's
so.
Like something like that.
Yeah,
like
that's
the first
right.
video game was like a really rudimentary tennis
Actually,
game.
Actually, it was 1958.
1958, okay.
Yes.
So for the first 20 years after the video game was invented, it did not advance at all because Pong
no.
is the first one, which
right.
is another rudimentary
that's
tennis
right.
game. But then as soon as that takes off, then just boom, explosion
that's right.
in the
so
80s.
So the next time
yeah.
you're playing one on your phone, you
yes.
can thank this guy.
Yep.
In 1958, which is kind of cool. And then we have on Thursday, October 26th, we have, well, a couple of things. The first major waterway, human-made waterway, the Erie Canal,
yes.
Opens. Though I should say that here in North Carolina, there were canals being built to go the Haw River near Hillsborough goes down to tributaries of the Cape Fear,
mm-hmm.
and they were actually, some evidence suggests they were actually bringing goods down when the water was high enough,
okay.
and then they were trying to bring them back up. Probably a lot of people don't know that there were steamboat paddle boats going up to Fayetteville.
Wow.
Which I never think of Fayetteville being a seaside port, you
yeah.
know, but
yeah.
they were.
Well, I mean, give it time, you know.
yes.
Climate change keeps going
That's
the way
right.
it does.
Yeah. So anybody
right?
there in Fayetteville is like, we didn't know we were seaside. This is great. This
yeah.
is wonderful. And let's see.
Gunfight at the OK Corral
yes.
on October
26th, oh my gosh.
This day in 1881.
Yes, that's a pretty big one. That's
yeah.
like, because we've all seen the movies. And
yeah, and it lasted 30 seconds.
That is what's amazing.
It's like, boom, and it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Gary Cooper in High Noon took 10 times that amount of time.
Well, I think the movies they had, there were like two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Tombstone
Kevin
and Wyatt
Costner,
Earp, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And both of
the,
I
Came
think
out
that
at the same
it was
time.
Also a little longer.
A little bit longer. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I feel like the real movie is the courtroom drama that transpires afterwards. The real gunfight movie should start with the gunfight. Like, that's the big, like, 30-second explosion right.
right
at the beginning of the movie. And then, like, bring, I don't know, Sam Waterston or Brad Pitt to be the smooth-talking attorney who ends up getting them acquitted later.
Well, maybe John Grisham can do something
there
with that.
There you go,
yeah.
yeah.
I think that'd be good.
Well, John, you know, if you're listening, that's
yes,
your next,
exactly. Well,
yeah.
here's one that's kind of interesting.
Might be. He lives down the road.
Oh,
yeah.
that's right.
Yeah.
October 27th,
mm-hmm.
1858, Theodore Roosevelt is born. Now, he has a whole bunch of firsts. The youngest president, age 42,
yes.
first president to ride in an automobile, submerge in a submarine, and fly in an airplane.
Yep.
Talk about...
And then I had lunch.
and I had teddy bears. That's right. Those are kind of cool things to,
yeah.
to think about. And there was in also on that date, October 27th, 1901,
mm-hmm.
George Watts Hill was
yes.
born in Durham. And he becomes pretty substantial in when he sees the gathering storms of war and rouses other business men, educators, and journalists on behalf of intervention in Europe,
mm-hmm.
which then he becomes part of the OSS to help with disguises and fake uniforms. And it's like, yes, well, there's a great connection.
Yeah,
Durham to World War II.
Durham to World War II. Disneyland, the TV series debuts on that day in history.
That's right.
The day before, a year before actual Disneyland opened. So the whole thing was just a big 30-minute advertisement for this future amusement park, which is great.
That's right. You see some of the cameras, and they're all like all over the place. Yeah. And there's cables strung out.
When this thing opens in a year, it's going to be fantastic. And then it wasn't. Like the first, you know, the stories of like the first week of Disneyland where they opened it up, and it was just an epic disaster. Like way more people showed up than they were expecting, and they didn't have enough bathrooms or trash cans or just the sort of basic stuff or things.
So it was really successful.
That was breaking down. Yeah.
But
a week later, everything was fine.
Well, I remember being at Disneyland when I was a boy, and there were two rides that got stuck. One was with dinosaurs, and as you're riding a train that looks like the dinosaurs are just about, and then that's when the train
stopped.
It stopped. So for the next hour, we saw them, and finally we were just rooting, go ahead, take a bite.
Take it.
It's a vegetarian.
I went down to, I haven't been to Disneyland. I've been to Disney World a few times. The most recent was a couple of years ago. We're planning on going back next year, but I always get stuck on the Haunted Mansion. I can never make it through the Haunted Mansion without it getting stuck. But this time, it got stuck in the perfect place, which is that like big room where you're like riding down, and you can look over and you can see like the big dining room with the big table and all of the ghosts flying around.
Oh, fantastic.
We got stuck right in the middle of that.
With them
with them flying around and everything.
Fantastic.
And it's all like mirrors and projections and things like from below in a room that you can't see, which is a really cool effect.
Yeah.
But we got to just sit there and watch it for 5 minutes because the ghosts were still, the music was still going and the ghosts were still dancing. And we were just sitting there like, this is great.
Yeah.
I'm
can
good
we
with
stop
this.
Again?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, I got stopped on, in Disneyland on a one of those Mad Hatter, like,
teacups. Oh, the teacups, yeah.
Yeah, and all the lights went out. And then you hear the workmen, I don't know, if we turn on them, will they fall out?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is a bonus to Disneyland, but good fun. Also, well, now, here's one on the 28th, I think, Saturday.
Moving to Saturday.
Levi Coffin is born October 28, 1798. He's an anti-slavery leader and reputed conductor of the Underground Railroad, coming from Guilford County, a Quaker community of New Garden, which is kind of amazing. And apparently everyone that went through with he and his wife, they survived, which is a pretty important
That's
thing.
Good,
but to say that that was actually happening.
Yep.
And in Hillsboro, Dickerson Chapel was purchased by Quakers during the Civil War, and it becomes one of the first freedmen school. But, you know, you kind of wonder, like, was this part of the Underground Railroad as well? And that's an interesting question. Don't know.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, we got time for one more. What do we got?
Well, we got the Statue of Liberty once again on Saturday, October 28th. That's when it the 151-foot gift is from the French people is dedicated. And we keep talking about it, so it keeps popping up.
Yes.
Which I think is kind of interesting. And that's a good thing. That's one of the great symbols of freedom and liberty and a welcoming sight that is a rallying cry for so many people around the world. And that's what history is about, too. It's not just battles. It's welcoming people who are fleeing from war zones and saying, you are welcome here.
Yep. History Matters, once again, Scott Washington. Always, it's been a pleasure.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
I just enjoyed it so much.
So good, so very good. These are the worst British accents.
They are just terrible.
They're terrible, yeah. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.